is up? Chris V here, and you're listening to the Message for Christian Girls podcast. And today we have a very, very special guest, Bethany Beal from Girl Defined, coming on today's show. And Bethany is going to talk about her new devotional she co-wrote with her sister, Kristen. It's called Shine Bright, and which you can find linked in the description below this podcast episode, as well as learning more about Girl Defined Ministries, which y'all know I love. I've talked about them all the time, and they do such great work. Bethany is also going to answer questions about what it means to be a girl defined by God. So without further ado, let's get started. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Bethany.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here and just to get to chat with your audience and, you know, talk about Christ and just the importance of living for him and being empowered by him. I'm just super honored to be here.
Yeah, I love that. That's like such an important thing to do in today's culture. So you just wrote a devotional called Shine Bright with your sister, Kristen, and the main message is to shine bright. So what does that mean for a Christian girl to shine bright?
Yeah, you know, I feel like especially now more than ever with just the amount of social media and media that in our faces, I feel like following Jesus can really feel like an uphill climb. You know, like there's so much pressure to conform to just whatever's going on around us and just the different trends that I really feel like it's so hard for modern girls to live out their faith each day. And it's so hard to really shine bright in a world that doesn't acknowledge Jesus as the savior, that doesn't say, oh, he's the reason that we're living. When you believe that, it can be just almost scary to actually speak up or to let others know that you are a Christian and that you are living for him. And so shine bright is just this whole idea of saying, hey, we know it's hard. We know it's challenging. And so we're going to give you the 60-day devotion to help you plug into the word, to dig into scripture deeper so that you can be empowered and equipped to shine for him, because it is hard, but God gives us the strength. So that's kind of where the concept came from and the idea and just why we wrote this devotional.
Amen. So yeah, shining bright for Christ in today's culture is hard at sometimes. So I'm so glad you guys wrote a devotional. So what would you say are some of the biggest challenges facing women and girls striving to live out their faith in our culture today?
That's a great question. You know, in our experience, we get DMs on social media. We get emails literally every single day, dozens and dozens of messages from young women, you know, describing and asking for help in specific areas. And I would really say ultimately the top area comes down to just identity and just understanding where our worth and value comes from. And I know many it, in my own experience, my struggles, you know, especially in high school and those early 20 years came down to trying to find my identity in guys and trying to find my worth in a guy noticing me, liking me, you know, dating, all of that stuff. And for a lot of young women, that's the same struggle. But also in today's day and age, it comes down to things like, you know, sexuality. There's such an influx of messages just telling us who we should be, where our, you know, sexuality is found, that it's a personal decision, all of that stuff. And so I think that for modern women, when it comes to sexuality, identity, those are some biggest areas that we are being hammered by the culture with messages telling us who we should be, what that should look like. And so I think that those specifically women, you know, it can be scary for young women to speak up and say, hey, I need help in this area, or I'm confused, because the world is so quick to offer us the answers. It's in every song. It's in every time we turn on the TV, you know, every time we open social media, it's like, hey, here's who you should be. Here's what's popular to say. You know, and if you say anything contrary to this, you're going to get pummeled and you're going to get canceled. And it's not okay to say those things. And so I think that's scary, especially if you are a young woman. I mean, I'm 32 now and it's still scary, you know, but I just think back when I was in high school, or in those college days, like social media didn't really exist. Instagram wasn't around. TikTok didn't exist, you know? And so I just can't even imagine the pressure that young women are facing. And so I think that it's so important for us to stop and just take account of that and think, oh, maybe I'm struggling because one, my own simple heart, but also like, what messages am I putting into my head and what am I filling my hours with and my day with? And I think that we'd be surprised by the amount of time that we're filling our minds with these messages, and to think, you know, to naively think that it's not going to impact us, that it's not going to affect us, that it's not going to cause us to struggle is just naive. So I think coming to grips with that and realizing like, wow, maybe some of my struggles are coming down to the fact that I have this imbalance. I have a lot more of the world in my life than the word. And when we recognize that and be honest about that, then we can move towards being in the word more rather than, you know, consuming so much of what the world has to offer.
Right. And I know you're talking about cancel culture at the Girl Defined conference, correct?
We are, yeah, which I'm really excited about. You know, that's happening really soon. But, you know, now more than ever, I feel like it's so prevalent because I feel like everyone's getting canceled left and right. Like, oh, they're canceled. It doesn't matter who you are. Do one wrong thing, like, you're done. It's just crazy.
Yeah. All right. So how does the culture's definition of femininity differ from God's definition of femininity?
Yeah. You know, that's a question I think a lot of us don't really think about. We don't often think about probably the word femininity ever because it's kind of a big word. And it's kind of like feels like almost old fashioned, like femininity. What is that? but it's actually very, very important because one, not only in our modern day and age, are femininity, masculinity, being a male or a female, completely interchangeable. And it's basically up to you to determine whatever you want to be. And, you know, that's being hammered down our throats. And so I think that that's one thing to consider, but also just to consider that, wow, back in the garden, back in Genesis, in the very beginning, God intentionally, specifically created the male and the female. And he created them to be fully valuable, but with this different. And I think us as women are being told and sold this whole message that in order to be equal with men, we need to be the exact same as them. And so kind of like embracing our femininity, embracing these amazing, unique qualities that make us women, instead of appreciating the differences, instead of appreciating the fact like, wow, women are the only ones who can get pregnant and bear children. Women are the only ones who can breastfeed, things that are very controversial now for whatever reason, you know. It's like those things are becoming diminished. And instead of us holding on to that, I mean, honestly, I would think that feminists would be the first ones to fight for those and say, hey, no, quit diminishing our womanhood, but we're just really giving it up. You know, it's just insane. And so I think that that's the biggest thing is that if we don't understand where our worth comes from and if we don't understand where our identity comes from, which ultimately as a Christian, we know it's in Christ. We know that he names us. We know that he frees us from our shame and our guilt. We know that we are his daughters. So we live out that new identity. We don't live according to what the world says. But it's so hard because of, you know, the feminist message, the world's message is so strong and it's everywhere. And so I think just on a basic level saying, hey, stop that. Like, you're not going to erase everything about my femininity and everything that makes this us, you know, unique and beautiful. And I'm not going to buy into the message that I have to be the exact same as a guy in order to be valuable, but, you know, equally, you know, the same as him. Like, no, I can be different and I can be just as valuable. God made all of humanity in his image. All of humans are made in the image of God. We're all, those of us who trust in him, are all his children equally. So instead of fighting for sameness, let's remember that we are uniquely different. And that's a beautiful thing. And remember that our value comes from Christ. And, you know, being different doesn't make us less valuable. It makes us purposeful for the kingdom of God in a really special and unique way.
Right. Like, I know in today's culture, it's so hard to be female and, you know, with like the transgenderism movement and everything. I know a lot of girls feeling like they can't, you know, be female and just live for God and serve him as a female. Like, there's so many ways you can do that. And, like, I know you talk about it in your book, Girl Defined, like the three pillars of womanhood.
Yeah. Because, you know, like I was saying, I think that we feel like we kind of have to, as modern women, move away from things that are considered like, oh, traditional or old fashioned, because those are less than, instead of looking and saying, wow, like how cool, you know, if God gives me the opportunity to be a mother, oh my goodness, that is completely unique to women alone. Like, even in the world of transgender and everything, even though they say, oh, a man can be a woman. I mean, I just heard the story about a man who is trying to, you know, be a woman. And so he's trying to breastfeed the child, but he is a man. So he was talking about how, oh, the child is latching, but there's milk coming out. And it's like, have the entire world lost their mind? Like, on a scientific, biological level, we all lost our early mind because we're saying like, of course it's not working. Of course there's no milk because he is a biological male, you know, but we're all buying
right.
this crazy idea that men can be women and women can be men. So But when we get back to things like Proverbs 31 and Titus 2 and even Genesis, we see that gender is beautiful throughout the whole of Scripture, and that God has very specific things that he has given us from, you know, the core of our being, this ability to be mothers. You know, we live in a fallen world, so does that mean every single woman will be a mother, that every single woman will be able to bear children? No, but we're talking about the design, the intention of what God created. And so when we stop and we reflect on that, we can go into great detail into all of this in our book, World Divine, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. We unpack the pillars of biblical womanhood, we unpack the lies of our culture. But it's something, you know, just the whole concept of femininity in general, I think that we as modern women would do ourselves a great service if we stop and actually took time to consider and study what that actually looks like from a biblical perspective.
Right, Girl Defined is probably one of my favorite books. I encourage all my listeners to go and read that
because
it's
that's
so
awesome.
Insightful. Yeah.
When was the first time you read it?
Ooh, maybe 2 years ago.
No way.
Yeah, it was so good.
That's awesome.
Just put everything in a new perspective, of like a Christ-like perspective for me, because I'm pretty young. I'm still in high school. We're constantly pelted with messages that, you know, women, like worldly womanhood, you know, being seductive and everything, and thinking you have power and being seductive. Yeah. I just see that all the time being pelted at girls.
Wow.
But once I read the three pillars of womanhood, it just put everything into a new light, and made a lot of sense and help me understand how I can serve God better.
That's amazing. And I love that. You know, like I said, I'm 32 and I, you know, I grew up in a Christian family, but I think I didn't fully understand more of God's design until much later in life. So I think that's so cool. Not only that you're learning this stuff, because you're sharing it with your peers and other young women. I just have one more question about, like, I'm so curious. Do you feel like your peers, a lot of them understand that? Or do you feel like, reproductive womanhood and all that, do you feel like they buy into that message? What's your experience like amongst your peers?
Right. So I'm going to move on with the questions, although I could talk about your book for hours. Yeah. So what messages do you see from the world which are making it more difficult for women today to embrace God's design for them? And I know we already kind of talked about that, but maybe we could add a little more.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that one of the big messages that we're hearing, and that you'll, you know, think about every magazine you see, think about pretty much every song you hear. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but, you know, this is like pretty direct, but it's like most songs and most magazines have something to do with like being super sexy or having the ultimate sexual experience. I mean, if you really listen to like, oh, what are the most popular songs right now? I mean, if you think of one of the most popular songs of 2020, it's a song, I don't even like to say the name because it's just, in my opinion, terrible, but it's like all about women just being totally sexualized, having these crazy sexual experiences.
Right.
And the world kind of tells us, like, you know, being, you know, the ultimate in life is like being super sexual, and everyone like, oh my goodness, look at her, queen, look at her, she's so incredible. And often it comes down to like, wow, she's so powerful because she just like slays, and look at her body, she's so confident. And she'll just do whatever, and she is willing to, you know, show all and do all, and she is so amazing. Or it's this sexual experience, you know, like, oh my goodness, wow, you've experienced that with this guy, or look at you, look at that relationship you're in. And so I think a lot of young women, which kind of ties into what you just shared about being super seductive or having that sexual experience, and that's what life is all about. And it's like, wow, you know, if that's what we're living for, then that's not very much. If we're living for like to be super sexy or to have this super sexual experience and that's it, like in my opinion, that's actually pretty disappointing, because I feel like obviously with God created us for so much more than that. Those things are, sex is a beautiful gift within the context of marriage, but he made us for so much more than just showing off our bodies or being like, oh, look at the queen, look at her. You know, so I think that taking a step back and reminding ourselves, like, God, he saved us. We are his redeemed daughters, and we are worth so much more than a sexual experience or being called super sexy or queen because we look a certain way.
Yes. So
where do you see girls commonly placing their worth and identity?
You know, it's interesting because amongst Christian girls, I would say this one might not be expected, but I know this was a big struggle for me, was placing my worth and identity specifically as a Christian girl in my goodness. And I think that's why a lot of Christian girls are afraid to share if they have sinned in a certain way, if they, you know, struggle sexually somehow, because we all feel like there's this standard that we need to live up to. And if we don't, we're not this perfect Christian girl, mm-hmm. then we're not going to be, you know, we're just less than, instead of realizing like, wow, that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about Jesus dying for us because we aren't enough, because we are broken, because we do mess up. And he saves us and takes away our shame, takes away our guilt. And we can look at him and say, God, I am so imperfect, but you are so perfect. And you give me your righteousness in place of my filthy rags. And so I think for young women, instead of being so afraid to speak up about that and then just living in this constant guilt and shame, we need to look at the gospel and say, wow, there's freedom in bringing this to the light. There's freedom in Christ. And I don't have to fear that I am not enough, because I already know I'm not enough, because that's why Jesus came, you know? And so instead of looking as Christian girls to our goodness, that defeats the whole purpose of the gospel, you know? So you need to look at the gospel and say, hey, that's why Jesus came. So that's something super specific to Christian girls, but I think it's something a lot of us have struggled with or do struggle with, but don't often recognize that. So I think that's super important to keep in mind.
Right. Definitely keep that in mind. So what are some practical tips you could give for learning to place your worth and identity in God rather than in worldly things like we were just talking about?
You know, it's hard because I think a lot of us want like a magical answer, like, okay, recite these three magical words and it'll all go away. It'll just focus on Christ and it'll be amazing. But I think that we have to remember that we were in the need for relationship. The gospel, that gives us access to a personal relationship with God. So when we trust Christ as our Savior and put our faith in him, we now have access to a personal relationship with God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to understand scripture. And so in order to kind of defeat the lies and know who God is and walk in that confidence and that boldness and that courage, we have to be in his word. And so, you know, I know that that can feel really intimidating, like the whole Bible, like, do I start in Genesis? Do I start in Matthew? Do I read the Psalms? What do I do? And that's actually why Kristen and I wrote Shine Bright, 60 Days to Becoming a Girl Defined by God, is really just as a way to encourage you. So whether you grab a copy of Shine Bright and use that as your guide to help you get into the Word, or maybe you do something simple, like you open up your Bible to the book of Psalms, and there's enough Psalms, one per day. The book of Proverbs. So there's 31 Proverbs, mm-hmm. and there's typically 30 to 31 Proverbs in a day. And so when you look at the date and you say, okay, like, you know, whatever day it is, say it's the 15th or the 21st, you just open your Bible and read Proverbs 15 or Proverbs 27 or Proverbs 1, whatever the date is for that day. And that's a great way to get into the Word and to start filling your mind with scripture so that you can know where your identity is found. You can have that confidence to know what God's Word says. And that's really going to be our guide, and our wisdom is by being in the Word. So it's not easy. It's not a simple solution, like say these magic three words, but it is a practice and a relationship and something that we can do. We can start really small. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to read the whole Bible in a year. You know, you could just focus on one proverb a day, get Shine Bright, do something simple to get started, and then you can kind of go deeper from there.
Right. And I love the Proverbs method, because Proverbs is like chock full of such godly wisdom that you can apply to your everyday life. Like, yeah. You don't need to be anyone important or anything. You can just be your average Joe, and it's perfect.
That's so true. That's so well said. You don't have to have a, you know, big seminary degree. You don't have to have all this Bible knowledge. You can just jump right in.
Right. It's awesome. So throughout your devotional, you frequently encourage the reader to really dig into scripture and spend more time with God. So why is it so important for girls, especially younger girls, like girls my age, to make spending time with the Lord in the Word and praying such a priority?
Yeah. You know, I once heard my pastor give an example about two dogs, and he was saying, like, you know, imagine if dogs, based on how much they ate, that's how big and strong they would get. And so imagine if one dog were like, oh, I'm not going to eat that much. And the other dog spent time eating. Of course, which dog's going to win? One would be like a Chihuahua and one would be like a Pitbull. If the Pitbull was eating a lot, he would win, you know? And so in some ways, though, that's how like our fleshly self works. If we are not feeding our souls with God's word and spending time in prayer, we're going to be weak. We're going to be wimpy. We're going to expect like, oh, I can do it. You know, I can spot the lies, like, but not put any effort into it. Like, no, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, but God has given us his word. That's our strength. That's our nourishment. That's our food. Just like we have regular food to nourish us, we have spiritual food. And so we have to view God's word as crucial, as so important, not just as like a, I'll get to it if I can. You know, I mean, if any of your listeners right now are listening to this podcast, that means somehow, some way they have access to the internet. And we can get free Bibles, free studies online through the internet. I mean, we offer a free mini devotional on our website, girltofine.com, for anyone, you know? And so there's really no excuse nowadays for us not being in the Word, because there's so much free access to the Bible, to, you know, online Bible studies. There's so much free and so much, like, you know, we can get it on our phone. We can be sitting anywhere and basically read the Bible. And so I think it's just understanding it as a matter of priority, you know, like, do I view this as nourishment? Like, I view food as nourishment, or do I view this as take it or leave it? And we have to view it as a spiritual nourishment to our soul. And if we don't, it's going to be hard to actually make it a priority.
Right. And especially in like in today's crazy society. So guys listening, get in the Word and do it like ASAP, as soon as you possibly can. And it doesn't need to be like super long at all either. I know I just do like 30 minutes in the morning, and the time flies too. I absolutely love it. But it's such a great time to get into the Word, focus on him. And there's like first thing in the morning, you're not going to have a lot of distractions. So get in the Word.
Amen.
So in your devotional, both you and Kristen share many personal stories. So what do you hope readers will take away from them?
You know, I hope readers take away, especially from the stories and us just opening up our lives, to realize they're not the only one. Whether it's struggles with sexuality, sin, identity issues, singleness, just brokenness in whatever way, when you realize these stories about our lives or lives of our friends that we've shared or just other girls, you know, when you read those stories, it helps you to remember like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one struggling, or I'm not the only one who's ever had this thought or asked that question. Sometimes you can feel so isolated and feel like no one else in the world has ever thought that or ever felt that or ever experienced that. And that can be really depressing and just like, I'm never going to find freedom, or I'm never going to overcome it. But when we hear from sisters in Christ who have gone through those things, it can be super encouraging. So that's my hope in both of us just sharing from our lives, is that that it will encourage you and help you to know that you're not alone.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's awesome. I know I appreciate it when I hear other women talk about things like I've struggled with. The last podcast episode I released was struggling with beauty issues and eating disorders. And I love hearing other Christian women talk about that, because, hey, I'm not the only one. So I really appreciate you guys talking about your struggles as well.
Absolutely.
So what would you say is the first step for a woman to begin her journey to shine bright?
Well, you know, the light, where does the light come from to help us shine bright? It doesn't come from ourselves, and it doesn't obviously come from the world. The world is very dark as we speak spiritually. So I think the first step is to go to the source of light. And like you've been mentioning, that can be super simple, just through prayer, like just, you know, like, God, I don't even really know what to say, but I want to live for you. Help me to live for you. Give me the strength to live for you. It can be something as simple as doing that, or it can be something as simple as, you know, just meditating on one verse, maybe meditate on John 3:16, the basics, getting understanding the gospel, or something like Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, just super, super simple passages that you can look up right now and say, God, I haven't been in your word in a long time, and that feels really overwhelming. So I'm just gonna focus on Proverbs 3:5-6 today. Help me to trust you. Help me to, you know, trust that you want what's best for me. Help me to remember that you're a good God. It can start super, super simple like that. So I just want your listeners to know that it doesn't have to be a big, overwhelming process. It can start with literally 5 minutes a day, And as you grow that appetite and gain that confidence, you can grow from there.
Yeah, amen. So I actually have a few questions on what it means to also be a girl defined by God. I know you talk about it, and again, your book, Girl Defined, but what does it mean to be a girl defined by God?
Well, really simply put, it means that you are defining your worth, your value, and your identity according to God's standards and not the world. And so I know, like we talked about, it's not defining our worth according to what the magazine tells us, you know, like, oh, here's the 100 sexiest women in the world, you know, like, what, mm-hmm. you know, or the 100 most beautiful women in the world. Like, if we are reading those sorts of magazines, then we're going to be like, oh, that's the standard. That's the definition. But God's standard is completely different. You know, he talks about how charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so I think truly that's the core of what it means to be a woman, to remember that God names us. He says, you are my redeemed daughter. And the essence of being a woman is to fear me and to love me. And when you do that, you'll have clarity to know, you know, what it means to be a woman and how to live, because your standard and your source of where you're going to, God's word, is completely different.
Right. And I know we already talked about this somewhat, but what are some of the biggest challenges for the Christian girl trying to become the girl defined by God? And what are some solutions to those challenges through Christ?
You know, I think that some of the challenges can be, like, you know, right now it could be like, I need to look a certain way. I know for me, I'm in a totally different season. I just had a baby. So yeah. I'm much older than most of your listeners, but you know, those sorts of issues can follow. So like for me, after having a baby, I'm like, oh my goodness, my body looks so different. And I really struggled with that. And I know a lot of young women and women can struggle with that. Like, my body needs to look a certain way. And if it doesn't look a certain way, then I'm not valuable and I'm not worthy. So it's really simple things like that we can struggle with. And if we don't realize it, it can become all consuming. You know, it can literally turn into just this bondage where we feel like I must have that in order to be happy. I must look a certain way, or I must have a boyfriend, or I must mm-hmm. be popular, or maybe I must be the smartest in my school, or I must make the varsity team. And we start saying, I must have that in order to be happy. And that thing becomes the most important thing in one life, instead of Christ being the most important thing and realizing, you know what, it would be really cool to make the varsity, but if I don't, it's not the end of the world. Like, that's not what defines me. It's not what gives me value. So I think it's putting all of those earthly things in their proper place and saying, yeah, it would be cool to have that, but it doesn't have to have it in order to for me to be valuable, to be worthy, or to be happy.
So could you share about the three pillars that we've already talked about again somewhat, that you wrote about in Girl Defined, about godly femininity?
Absolutely. You know, so Kristen and I, we were trying to, you know, figure out, like, okay, how can we unpack God's design for femininity in a really simple and easy way? And so we actually came up with three pillars that we find, not the exact pillars, obviously, in scripture, but three pillars that capture the essence of what it means to be a woman, taken from the story of scripture, taken from a specific, unique, and beautiful design for us as women. And so in our book, Girl Defined, we talk about these three pillars. And the first one is that she helps others. And the reason we say that is because when you hear the word helper, oftentimes you can think like, oh, that's a bad word. I don't want to be a helper. But actually, God, he describes himself, the Holy Spirit, as our helper. And it's actually a beautiful calling, a beautiful word. And so when you look back at the garden in Genesis, you had Adam, and then she was given to Adam as the helper, as the one to complete, as this beautiful counterpart to complete this dynamic duo of Adam, the man, Eve, the woman. And it doesn't mean that she's less than, it just means that she's different and complementary and beautiful in her own unique way. Just like the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's miraculous. You know, we don't even understand how that works, but they're different, but one. And beautiful, you know, it's powerful and amazing. God says the Holy Spirit, you know, he is our helper and our guide. And so in a beautiful way, we are given that same word, that helper word, same word that is used to describe God. So that's actually something beautiful, not something to be ashamed of or afraid of. And then the second pillar, which we touched on a bit, is that she produces life. And, you know, as someone who gave birth like a year and a half ago, it's such an amazing and incredible experience. And instead of downplaying that and say, whatever, I don't care that I can give birth. I hate that I could give birth, actually. Or I think it's dumb that only women can give birth. Instead of saying that, we should appreciate that and go, wow, God literally created us with this unique ability that no man can do. You know, it's a woman only specific thing that she can produce life and give birth. And, you know, that physical reality really just points to something deeper about the very nature of our being as women, that God created us to produce life. So whether we do that physically, we can also do that spiritually. We can look at those around us and say, hey, how can I pour into those around me? How can I produce spiritual life as well as physical life? So that's just something interesting to think about. And then the last pillar number three, we call it she nurtures relationships. And I don't think it's any secret that not every woman will feel this way, but when we're really thriving in our relationship with God, we just have this unique ability to nurture relationships. And it kind of comes from that you'll hear people say, like, a mothering instinct. And that's because God created women specifically to mother and to nurture and to be able to sustain that life literally with their own bodies. And so women just have this beautiful ability to nurture relationships. Those are just three super, you know, the quick overview. Obviously, I know, like, you recommended they should read Girl Defined, but it's a quick overview of just three aspects that makes her woman so unique, so valuable, so special, things to be that we should praise God for rather than diminish.
All right. Thanks for sharing those three pillars. I think they're awesome and easy to understand. Like you said, it's not complex. So what are some ways girls can strive to be a girl defined by God and not anything else in their daily life?
It's a hard one. I mean, obviously we live in a fallen world, we live in a broken world, but I think that one very, very practical thing that you can do, I'll give you two little tips on how you can really strive to be a girl defined by God. One, I would say, is to find community. So basically what I mean by that is find other sisters in Christ who are going the same direction as you. So obviously your listeners are listening right now. That's a great first step because you're listening to like-minded Christian sisters in Christ sharing about how to be a girl defined by God, how to follow Jesus. That's a huge first step. But maybe next it's finding someone in your school or in your church where you're both striving to follow God. Having that community, having that support is huge. And then the second thing would be to help you live as a girl defined by God would be to find a mentor. And I know that can sound super scary. I'm like, what is that? But it's just basically finding someone who's a few years older than you, many years older than you, who can help you walk towards Christ. Maybe you read a book together. Maybe you just get together for coffee and talk about life and pray for each other. But having those people around you to support you, encourage you, kind of keep you accountable is invaluable in your journey of living to be a girl defined by God.
Yeah, I have a mentor and I absolutely love her. Appreciate her so much. And again, we just meet for coffee. Sometimes we go through books and talk about stuff. And she's like, kind of like my coach. She's like maybe 15 years older than I am. It's really helpful. It's a huge game changer. And again, the accountability is amazing. So last question, how can listeners find you and the awesome work you and Kristen do?
Well, you're so sweet to us and so sweet to have us on. But you can just go to girldefined.com, or if you're on social media, you can just look up like @girldefined on any of the platforms. And Kristen and I also have a podcast. So if you enjoy podcasting, which I'm guessing you do because you're listening to this amazing podcast, you can just hop on over right now to the Girl Defined show and you can check out our podcast as well and just get more encouragement. I mean, the whole goal is to just offer you encouragement, and you can get so much of that for free by listening to this podcast or listening to our podcast or just following along on social media. And we need that, don't we? We just need that encouragement so much.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show again.
Oh, thank you for having us. It was such an honor.
Thanks again, Bethany, for coming on the podcast. I absolutely loved having you and talking to you. And I hope you all loved listening to it and were able to take away some great advice about being a girl defined by God and being a godly girl in today's society where that just wants to be canceled. So if you like this, you want to learn more about this, hear more about this, go to girldefined.com And they have, Kristen and Bethany both have blog posts. They have guest blog posts. They have a vlog that you can find on YouTube. Go check that out. I love watching their videos. And their books are on there. And again, the devotional that Bethany was talking about is on there. So all great stuff, all free. Go check it out. It's amazing. Also, be sure to check out Shine Bright. 60 days to becoming a girl defined by God. And that should all be linked in the description below, as well as information for A Message for Christian Girls. Go check out our website that also has a blog. And our podcast is listed there as well. If you have a podcast topic you'd like to submit, there's a form. You just hover your mouse over the on your computer or phone or whatever over podcast, and below it is a drop down menu. Click on the menu and there should be a form. You just go fill that out and I'll be able to see it after you submit it. If you wanted to contact me for any reason, even just to say hi, go to our contact form and just put on your message and I'll try to respond. And I enjoy connecting with you guys. I love it so much. And I love hearing from you and hearing what God's doing in your lives. Also, you can also connect with us on social media. Not only does Girl Defined have social media at Girl Defined, we also, A Message for Christian Girls, has social media on Instagram. We're at A Message for Christian Girls 1. And on Pinterest, we're at A Message for Christian Girls. So I hope, again, y'all enjoyed this conversation, and we'll see you next time.